Welcome to Shnayim Mikra. My name is Yitzhak Et Shalom, and we are continuing in our study of Parshat Toldot, Parshat HaShavua, looking at the second Aliyah, beginning in Perek Chaf Vav of Bereshit, Pasuk Vav, picking off up after the point where Yitzhak wants to go down to Mitzrayim because of the famine, and Hashem stops him from going down. And he remains instead in Gerar in the area of the Plishtim. Vayeshev Yitzchak b'Gerar. This competes, of course, with many, many other psukim as the shortest pasuk in Tanakh, at least word-wise, and that's three words. So Yitzchak settled in Gerar. Now, Vayishalu anshe makom li'ishto, vayomer achotihi. The people of the place inquired about his wife, and he said, she is my sister. I'm going to do something a little bit unique in this podcast and the next, and that is I'm going to raise several questions in this podcast and answer them in the next one. The story here seems to be, again, as I pointed out in the previous podcast, a repeat of the stories that happened to Abraham. Here again, he is in a foreign area. There are questions about his wife. And then, Vayomer Achotihi, he says she's his sister. Ki arei lemor ishti. Why was he afraid to say she's his wife? Pen yahrguni anshe makom arivka ki tovat marehi. He's afraid that they'll kill her for Rivka, because she's very pretty. In other words, they will want Rivka, and they'll kill him to get him out of the way. Sounds very much like Avraham's concerns in Mitzrayim. And also Avraham, as he stated, his concerns in Gerar with Avimelech, his turnaround. So now, Vahi ki archulo sham hayamim, he was there for a long time. And notice, nobody's done anything about Rivka, nobody's made a move on Rivka that we know of, nobody has offered anything to marry Rivka, and evidently the two of them are still residing together. Vayashkef Avimelech Melech Plishtim Ba'arachalon. It's important to note that these Plishtim, unlike the later Plishtim, this, what we'll call the second wave of the Plishtim, that appear in Yehoshua's time and subsequently all the way through David's time, are who do not have kings, and for the most part are run by captains. This set of Plishtim has a king. The king has a title name. It's Avimelech. And they live in Gerar, unlike the later Plishtim who live in Ashkelon, Ashdod, Ekron, Azah, and Gat. In any case, Avimelech looks through the window. Vayar v'nei Yitzchak mitzachek et Rivka Ishto. There's a deliberate play on words here. Yitzchak is sporting with Rivka Ishto. And the phrase Rivka Ishto is not only telling us who he's sporting with, but the fact that the sporting was something that a man would only do with his wife. Whatever it was, whether it was one level of intimacy or another, Avimelech sees this. So he understands that they're married. Vayikra Avimelech liYitzchak. Vayomer achine ishtachahi ve'echamar tachotihi. Now notice, nothing yet has happened. Rivka was not taken from him. And he says, achine ishtachahi, behold, she is your wife. And it's clear that she's your wife. How could you say she's your sister? Vayomer lav Yitzchak, ki amarti panamut aleha. So Yitzchak says, I was concerned that I would die because of her. And Avimelech has a comeback. Vayomer Avimelech, mazot asita lanu. What did you do? Kimat shachav achad ha'am et ishtachan. Achad ha'am could be read two ways. It could be one of the people could have taken your wife and slept with her. Or achad ha'am could be hamiyuchad shba'am, like Rashi says, the most important one, meaning himself, would sleep with your wife, ve'veta aleinu asham, and you would cause us sin. Now notice that Paro did not have this response in the case of Avram and Sarai, and rather was bothered by the fact that he was lied to, and as a result of that, was plagued. Avimelech, the previous time around, had the same issue with Avraham, was that Hashem had afflicted the houses, and he said, "But here, the concern is far more of a moral concern. If you had, based on your deception and misinformation, somebody might have taken your wife and slept with her thinking she was a single girl and your sister, and it would have caused us a grievous crime." And then, that's the end of it, and Yitzchak does not get in a response, unlike in the case of Avraham with Avimelech. And then Avimelech gave them royal protection. It says, anybody who touches this man or his wife will surely die. So there clearly was a concern that there was some anger among the people, and Avimelech evidently understood something about Yitzchak, that he was worthy of protection and of keeping him in the land. And what happened is, Vayizra Yitzchak ba'aretz ahi v'imsa m'shanahi me'ash sharim. So Yitzchak planted in that year, and he found me'ash sharim, which means what simply read is 100 times over what he planted. In other words, he was blessed with a great crop, Vayrachehu Adonai, and God blessed him. That is the blessing, that he had a great crop. Now, the sense of this passage is that Yitzchak remained there, he had royal protection, and the royal protection is now justified because we see Yitzchak is indeed a man of God. He's planting in an area that he's not accustomed to. It's a new place for him. And he has all this wonderful growth. And notice that Yitzchak, of course, grew up either in Hebron or in Beersheba, neither of which is particularly good farmland or even close to it. And here he comes to this other area and starts planting and has great success. So people see the bracha of God. They see that God's hand is here and that he's a blessed person, and they would understand what is going on. So here's a couple of questions that I want to pose, is when you take a look at the beginning of this piece, Yitzchak appears here, and Rivka is, as he says, very attractive, or as the text tells us, very attractive, and he's afraid that they're going to kill him to get to her. By the way, nothing does happen, but why would he have that concern? After all, they're coming with two young men in tow. And what would people make of this foursome of Yitzchak and Rivka, who by this point has to be somewhere in her 20s or 30s or 40s because she's already been married for 20 years and has some kids, and they've already grown up, so maybe she's even in her 50s and she's got grown children. And why would they think that she's his sister? Now, in the case of Sarah back in Mitzrayim, she looks like an elegant older woman, perhaps. Not older in the sense of loss of beauty, but just more matronly, perhaps. But she's attractive. Elegant woman, Paro would want to take her. Even with Avimelech, what they have at the most in their entourage is Hagar and Ishmael, but Sarah has no kids. So it's easy to pass her off as a sister who's somewhat older. But here, how could Rivka be passed off this way? So that's part one of a question that we will deal with in the next podcast and suggest some responses to. But one thing to keep in mind is that in the interactions that take place here, where Yitzchak is both afraid of being hurt and on the other hand goes to plant, Yitzchak is acting alone. He acts out of fear of the one man who's an outsider, and he acts as a farmer, as one man who's working alone. And we will see this pick up in the next podcast as we move to the third Aliyah in Parashat Toldot. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.